Welcome to the Automation World Get Your Questions Answered podcast, where we connect with industry experts to get the answers you need about industrial automation technologies. I'm David Greenfield, Editor-in-Chief at Automation World, and the question we'll be answering in this episode is, are open systems reliable enough for industrial IoT? And joining me to answer this question is Ken Crawford, Senior Director of Automation at Weidmuller USA, a supplier of industrial connectivity and electronics technologies such as terminal blocks, connectors, cabling, I/O, controllers, and power supplies. So thanks for joining me today, Ken.
Thanks, David. I'm very excited to be here.
So, you know, before we get started on our discussion today, Ken, you know, I just want to update the audience real quick on the origins of the topic for this interview, which started when we met at PAC Expo, where Weidmuller was introducing UOS, which is your open operating system designed to handle tasks such as device maintenance and application integration in automated systems. Now, for listeners interested to learn more, I've placed a link to that article that I wrote following our meeting, which also features a video of you, Ken, explaining UOS on the page for this podcast at the automationworld.com site. Now, based on what I learned in our discussion about UOS, you know, I see UOS as a, you know, a great example of how integral the use of open systems technologies is becoming across the automation device landscape. And as you know, it wasn't so long ago that the idea of using open systems technology wasn't exactly widely embraced by the industrial engineering community. So seeing Weidmuller's introduction of UOS really highlighted for me, you know, how far the acceptance of open systems use in industrial technology has come. So considering that history of open systems in industry and that the basis of your new UOS strategy involves the use of a Linux core, which of course opens up a number of possibilities for users, you know, the fact remains that some users might still be a bit apprehensive about relying on open source software for their operations because its openness can be perceived as less secure. So in your opinion, what are the risks of open source software and automation today, and what is Weidmuller doing to mitigate these, and are there any specific benefits you can point to with regard to security and robustness when using open source software?
Sure, that's actually a great question. So you hit it on the head a little bit when you mentioned that open source software is perceived, or the perception, because it's open, lends itself a little bit less secure. But, you know, just because hackers can't see the source code doesn't mean that it's more secure by any means. And by some estimates, 90% of the industrial community uses some form of open software today. And in my opinion, open source software is that you have this, with open source software, you have the largest developer community authoring, contributing, and patching the Linux-based OSs, as well as the other open source platforms like Python and Node-RED. At last count, the Linux Foundation estimated the number of developers to be over a million. So a closed or a proprietary developer, they can't achieve that level of creative support. So Weidmuller also, because of the openness and because you will have foul players, we engage with communities and we have partnerships and tools that alert us provide us with alerts for any vulnerabilities that may be present, as well as help us rapidly patch our solutions. And also with that level of engagement, we are seeking an explosion of unique and creative open source solutions that are more flexible and extensible than any kind of closed counterpart could possibly be.
So, you know, Weidmuller advertises UOS as an open Linux-based operating system, as I mentioned earlier, you know, but not every automation application needs that level of openness. And of course, not every engineer is comfortable with Linux. So considering that, do you see it as being a good fit for a broad range of industrial automation applications?
Yeah, certainly. Linux has come a very, very long way since the beginning of just a command line structured language. So, but at the same time, Weidmuller sees that the Linux partitions and the Linux piece can be a little bit more difficult for people, that engineers that aren't maybe as IT literate as a typical Linux administrator would be. That's why we've really abstracted a lot of the Linux portions from the user's interface so that you really don't have to understand or know Linux. So WideMuler provides powerful tools, and we provide applications that limit the need for the user to interact directly with our OS, thereby extracting the need for the user to have really any interaction with Linux at all. And this is a key benefit of the product. Another benefit is that UOS enables OEMs to run third-party applications that can coexist on the controller and provide an enhanced functionality of the controller. For instance, we support a platform called AnyViz, which provides condition monitoring, visualization, and cloud connectivity right out of the box. These are open source platforms that are supported on Linux now and make it very easy for us to load and utilize. So it makes it a very flexible and extensible platform without really the need for in-depth software development or in-depth knowledge of the platform itself. You just take these modules, much like an application, load it on our containerized OS, and you can run that application, and all the dependencies and all the drivers and all the applications that are associated with that module are in that container. So the ability for the containers to isolate each application running in conjunction with the main control algorithm really provides an isolation barrier that enables the control features to be still deterministic and run your analytics, as well as the application running independently in a multi-threaded environment. It keeps it all very safe.
Yeah, I like that you mentioned that. I think that's a key point too, about even though Linux is integral to UOS, in this, that you don't have to be an expert in Linux. And historically, that has been something of a requirement with different applications, you know, that were built on Linux, that the user or the engineers involved with it needed to be at least somewhat familiar. So that's an interesting approach, that it's transparent to the user, that they don't need to be an expert in that. You know, one other thing you mentioned on that was about the benefits to OEMs. If you don't mind, I'd like to dive into that a little more deeper, you know, beyond the technology issues we've been discussing surrounding open systems use in industry. What about the business side benefits? And, you know, since you mentioned OEMs, let's, you know, start with that. You know, from an OEM's perspective, how can this be used to expand an OEM's business opportunities?
Yeah, so this platform really provides a big punch in a highly integrated and simplified solution. This really drives a high feature set at a lower cost of ownership, lower cost, a reduced BOM cost, really, because the OS that is the PLC, that runs the PLC, also enables you to do a lot more with that OS than just be a PLC. And it does it in a way that simplifies the platform. So years ago, it used to be that if you wanted a platform that was cloud connected, you'd have your PLC platform, but then you'd have to buy a gateway, or you'd have to buy a cellular modem, and then you'd have to buy some kind of firewall device. Today with UOS, since it is a cloud connected OS, we incorporate a lot of those individual parts and pieces in software modules that reside on the PLC itself. So you get a lot of bang for your buck there with a very reduced BOM cost. In addition, you know, since UOS is built from the ground up, it's really built as a connectivity platform that allows a high level of this integration and adoption for many of the Industry 4.0 benefits. And this is all into a PLC that offers traditional discrete and process level control, as well as providing a state-of-the-art VPN level security, and really a missing piece that a lot of companies still don't have for their remotely deployed assets. And that is the idea of fleet management and edge management, where you can remotely administer and control and maintain, diagnose, troubleshoot an individual edge device on your platform, as well as all of your remotely deployed devices. So fleet management allows you in one really central location, one single pane of glass, to see how your machines are operating, what the health of those machines are, if they're online, offline, and really get a very quick glimpse of how well your fleet is performing.
Yeah, that whole idea of fleet management or equipment as a service from an OEM point of view, that's definitely been a game changer in the OEM industry over the past few years. And we see no signs of that slowing down. In fact, it seems to really just be getting started. So that's a good point there. And following on that, from our discussion there on the OEMs, what about from an industry end user point of view at a manufacturing or a processing facility? How can these kind of technologies help their operations?
Yeah, so let's take problem detection as an example. So with UOS's ability to host and run third-party applications, imagine installing a data aggregation application alongside CodeAssist on a PLC. With the ability to inherit data aggregation in a PLC, the OEM can continuously gather metric information about their remotely deployed product in a way that enables them to see and detect problems and trends in their equipment. So you have basically, your core control algorithm that's running your piece of equipment. And then you could just load a third-party application that maybe is an analytic that does really good at problem detection. And that analytic can coexist with the control algorithm, collecting data, sending that data up into the cloud, allowing you to see trends in your equipment portfolio, to be able to detect early problems, and rectify those problems, as well as optimize your program remotely and update your program in a way that you can address those problems locally at the edge. With detection comes prediction, and with prediction, the OEM can better determine issues before they become downtime events, and also provides them with solution intuition that puts the right part on the truck before they deploy to site. This results in, of course, a lot less windshield time. Resources can cover more customers, more territory, and it results in a lot less wasted time and money for the OEM. So you asked the question how our technology really directly helps OEMs today. A lot of the OEMs that I have are smaller OEMs. So a lot of smaller OEMs recognize really the benefits of the Internet 4.0, Industry 4.0, but they don't necessarily have the means nor the resources or the expertise to adopt a lot of those, so that they really, that competitive advantage has been out of reach for them. Well, what we've been able to do is we've been able to combine in UOS the fact that, we have a cloud-connected platform. We combine that with our Applied Solutions Network, our ASN team, which is a team of field engineers that go out and talk with the customers and do discovery with the customers on their platforms. And they're actually able to intertwine our solution into the OEM's existing platforms, existing infrastructure, to really extract the value of that industrial 4.0, that cloud-based UOS connectivity, set up the tag map, set up the dashboards, help them realize exactly what the platform has to offer the smaller OEMs. And so they're less apprehensive really to dive into that technology, which otherwise they would have spent a lot more money. They would have had to bring on resources that are different kinds of resources than controls engineers than what they're used to. So this really enables the smaller OEM to go after and capture some of that competitive differentiation that the bigger boys are offering. And so for a small OEM, they get to look big. And that's really one of the biggest differentiators that my team in the US can offer.
Okay. Thanks for explaining that, Ken. Digging a bit deeper into the industry workforce issues that you mentioned there, which is something both end users and OEMs are facing, can these open source technologies help address the loss of in-house expertise as boomers retire in greater numbers and also address new workforce trends around remote work and employee retention?
Definitely. I mean, that's one of the, for the last 10 years, I think the exodus of expertise with the controls engineering field, now entering the retirement ages, a lot of people, a lot of companies are seeing that as an issue. Many industries are seeing their workforces retiring, and with that, the exodus of decades of experience and that intellectual property knowledge. Companies are now finding that techs and engineers, they could locate a problem based on experience or even listening to a piece of equipment, and that history is no longer available to them. With the introduction of Industry 4.0 comes enhancements through more intelligent machines, through data gathering and whatnot, capable of telling you where it hurts. But with those insights require a broader sensor deployment as well as a highly trained workforce. normally you can get more information about your machine, but it costs a lot more money and time because you have to outfit that machine with a bunch of sensors and whatnot to bring that data back. So in an environment where resources learn and sprint for high wages and with little company loyalty, it's imperative that the OEMs need to employ a technology that's easy to learn, is easily configured and operates really with low technology overhead, and is expertly supported with a team of central or control engineers. You know, UOS offers the ability to remotely log in, traverse the solution, diagnose and update the control applications from a central location, and can even be accessed by a wide Mueller tech support if needed. You know, this lessens the impact for resource-constrained OEMs and opens up the possibility for remote work staff to continue to add value remotely instead of having to go into work or having to go on site. So really having these connected assets with all the tools necessary to access them and run them is really what the UOS brings to the table.
All right, so last question, Ken. You know, we've talked about open systems technologies in industry in general, and we've talked about UOS, you know, very specifically, you know, as it pertains to both OEMs and end users. But can you give us a few examples of companies in different industry verticals that have used these open source technologies to actually digitally transform their operations?
Sure. We've already mentioned a bit about combining open source applications with an established control algorithm like Code Assist to allow you to quickly adopt known tested solutions to solve problems without adding additional hardware components. For instance, an oil and gas OEM finds that they need to add tank monitoring, for instance, because what they do is they put a chemical in to control anti-foaming agent in tanks so that they can keep that oil flowing when it's moving. And they find that they can't really modify a cabinet because these cabinets are certified. So really, UOS gives them the opportunity to, they can find a local vendor with a local sensor, a tank level sensor, and then actually run that company's application that interfaces to that sensor alongside of the control algorithm and connect that to the cloud remotely. So really, in the control cabinet, there isn't necessarily a need to modify or add components. You can just connect to an application that runs coincidentally with your control algorithm and bring that data back to the cloud so that the customer can do automatic inventory, for instance, on those anti-flow agents. You know, another example would be a crane company that offers update services for crane installations. You know, it's like, you know, these big industrial crane systems are anywhere from $4 to $12 million and up, right? So there's a whole industry of companies that go out there and they update these crane systems, and as many types of crane systems as there are, they're PLCs. You know, there's Allen Bradley, there's Modicon, there's so many different kinds of PLCs as well as different kinds of drives. So a lot of these companies can do 10 crane systems in a year. And so no two crane systems look exactly the same. And so a lot of them will standardize on like a U-Control, where we can incorporate U-Remote into that U-Control and parasitically connect to each one of those design architectures and bring back that data with analytics, with data aggregation, with that remote access, that secure remote access to a central dashboard, where really it doesn't matter if there's 10 different installations and they're represented where the tag maps are represented, same look and feel for the dashboard. So when these companies go in and they offer maintenance contracts from remotely, they can log into these devices and they don't have 10 unique different devices that they really have to manage. They can go into a single portal where all of the devices have been configured to look exactly the same from their perspective. And that really simplifies their ability to manage these diverse fleets. And we do that with UOS. We do that with the U-Link portion of UOS running on our U-Control, as well as our U-Remote parasitically tying into all the sensors so that we're not really doing any of the control in the crane, but we're doing a lot of the monitoring and status monitoring of that crane.
Well, thank you again for joining me for this podcast, Ken. And thanks, of course, to all our listeners. And please keep watching this space for more installments of Automation World Get Your Questions Answered. And remember, you can find us online at automationworld.com to stay on top of the latest industrial automation technology insights, trends, and news.